life today.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any more ridiculous, there's a train operator who thought it would be kosher to let his 8-year-old drive the subway. Well, at least he wasn't texting, right? Sonia Sotomayor passes one hurdle. We'll tell you all about that. As for the Democrats, wow, a Democratic House and Senate and a Democrat in the White House, but no vote before the recess on health care reform because Friday is knocking pretty fast. I just don't see how that happens. We know the Senate's not going to be able to get it done. Doubtful the House will be able to do it either. That's where we start. In fact, coming up in another 10 minutes here on America Tonight, we're going to talk to one of my favorite guests, Martin Haugill. He is the executive director of the Institute for Health Technology Studies. This cat knows where it's at, and he can tell us, how does this affect all of us? What does it mean for the future of our health care? Are we going to get lousy health care as a result of some of the things we're talking about, or is there a chance it'll be better health care? Barack Obama is holding town hall meetings. He held another one of those and talked about that very thing. Why do we need health care reform? Here's what he had to say.
I've already mentioned that health care costs are going up much faster than inflation. Right? So your wages, your income, if you're lucky right now, maybe they're going up 2% a year, maybe 3% a year. For a lot of people, they're not going up at all because the economy is in tough shape. But your health care costs are still going up 6% a year, 7% a year. Some people are getting notices in their mail. Their premium just went up 20%. On that trajectory, health care costs will probably double again. Your premiums will probably double again over the next 10 years. They may even go up faster than that. The costs of Medicare are going to keep on rising a lot faster than tax revenues coming in, which means that the trust fund, you got more money going out than is coming in, which makes that more unstable. And we know that if we do nothing, we will probably end up seeing more people uninsured. We're already seeing 14,000 people lose their health insurance every day. 14,000 people. So the costs of doing nothing are trillions of dollars in costs over the next couple of decades. Trillions, not billions, but trillions of dollars in costs without anybody getting any better care. So what we've said is, if we can control health care inflation, how fast costs are going up, then not only can we stabilize the Medicare trust fund, not only can we help save families money on their premiums, but we can actually afford to provide coverage to the people who currently don't have health care.
All right, not everybody agrees with Obama because, as I've said on this show, we need some more specifics on it. What happens with this whole employer deal? Has that been thrown out? What I heard is it's off the table. If that's true, that's one thing that I think is good. What does it mean to the individual and what they have to pay? And also, we know the public option, as it was first presented, it's not going to work because you already have doctors who can't afford the malpractice insurance. They're all going to scatter, and the best doctors are going to leave the business, and the others will hang on by their fingernails because why would they compete with somebody who's a doc giving out the public option? It would cause, I think, the system to collapse. Here's what Senator Charles Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, had to say as to why he doesn't like it in its current form.
It will not include an employer mandate. It will have more competition for our health insurance companies so that there's more competition, but it's going to be done through a cooperative as opposed to a government-owned and regulated insurance company that would be a very unfair competition with crowd outs that would eventually do away with private health insurance. Now, We're making progress by inches. A lot of people wonder how long it's going to take. It's difficult to say how long it's going to take. We're hoping to get a bill out of committee yet before we go for summer break, August the 7th. We may not make it, and if we don't make it, people might wonder, well, what's taking so long? But we're talking about life and death issues here for the American population. We're restructuring health care, and it seems to me it ought to be done in a very considerate way, not rushed through, because we're finding so much wrong with the House bill, for instance, that came out. And I'll just give you one example. After 5 years, self-funded programs that big companies have, and they're protected by the ERISA laws passed in 1974, it does away with that protection. So the president's promise that after if you want to keep the insurance that you've had, and that's a promise he made in the election, after 5 years, that'll be no longer be true. So we've got to take some time to study some of these other bills, and that's why Senator Baucus and I are not rushing this.
All right, see, so I agree with him. He said that's why he's not rushing this. And that's what I said. What is the race now to suddenly make this happen when it's so half-assed? There's no way to sugarcoat that. You have to have it where it makes sense, at least going into it. You know it would have to be tweaked anyway, right? So the idea that you don't have the employer mandate is a good one, and that, of course, is something that Grassley talked about, and also the co-op instead of the public option, because that would just make a lot of the good doctors flee. Here's the deal. If you don't like some of the things you're hearing, how many times do I say this on America Tonight? It's power to the people, baby. You live in a country, you enjoy freedoms because of our founding fathers. That means you have elected reps. They represent you. You put them into office. So you just got to call, ring, ring, ring. Send them an email. Send them a letter. Imagine writing a letter. Any of those things. And let them know how you feel about the health care bill. And make sure, and certainly we will on this show, let you know what it's going to cost, what are the exact parameters of the bill. In other words, if you work for an employer and they can't afford it, that was the scary thing about the employer mandate. And then it's forced upon them. Well, then what happens? The jig is up and you lose your job and the place goes belly up. Honestly, there would be a good chance of that in some of these small, small businesses who are just trying to make it, and they know they can't afford health care. They can't afford it for themselves. So if these things are changed, which it sounds like this is kind of the direction it's headed in, I say cautiously, because still the payment issue is the big thing. Where do you get the money? How are you really, really going to get the money to pay for what needs to be paid for? What Obama said in his town hall meeting, one of the things he talked about is there's too much paper waste. And we would all agree that's true. You go to a doctor, they don't know where your records are. You're someone like me, or you've moved around different places, so you've had different doctors, and then they want to get the information from the other doctor, and it becomes a paper shuffle, even for the simplest of things. So there's been talk about digitized records. So well, that can be scary, too, thinking of who can get a hold of the records. But let's just say you have it digitized. It will still cost a fortune to have all those records go through an IT person and be digitized. So that means more money up front. That's one of the things Obama talked about, but he says it's more savings on the back end. But the problem is, brother, we don't have a lot of money on the front end. Coming up next, the man who knows all about this, Martin Haugill, joins us, the executive director of the Institute for Health Technology. That's on the flip side here on America Tonight.
As you already know, drinking pure high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkaline alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. That's 269-216-9767 today.
Hi, this is John Swenson again at Midas Resources, and let me ask just one question. What would you list as the things that the federal government does really well? The armed forces and printing bogus money doesn't count. Now take that blank page of yours and list the ways that you have to protect your assets and escape the paper markets. The only real option is precious metals. For your retirement, your kids' education, or just plain survival when the whole Obama mess comes crashing down. You are the only one you can count on for a stimulus package. And I'd like to discuss a proven strategy to create that safety net for you and your family. Please give me a call at 800-686-2237, extension 128. That's 800-686-2237, extension 128. And together we can develop a Make Sense program before the clock runs out. Once more, John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128. And take charge of your future, and thank you.
If you'd like to quit smoking regular cigarettes and try a revolutionary new alternative, this might be the most important message you will ever hear. PremiumeCigarette.com brings you the electronic cigarette. It looks like a cigarette. It feels and tastes like a cigarette. And even delivers nicotine like a cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, it doesn't deliver toxic chemicals and tar into your lungs or discolor your teeth. The Premium e-cigarette has no flame or ashes, and you can smoke it anywhere, even where cigarettes are not permitted. Because the vapor you exhale is only water, not dangerous secondhand smoke. You've tried the gum. You've tried the patch. You've tried cold turkey. Now it's time to try the Premium e-cigarette. By doing so, you will save 60 to 75% over regular cigarettes. If you'd like to learn more, visit PremiumeCigarette.com. That's Premium, the letter E, Cigarette.com. PremiumeCigarette.com. Or call 866-242-9210. That's 866-242-9210 today.
House Democrats are saying not so fast. That's what Nancy Pelosi said anyway as she came out of a closed-door meeting later in the evening. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Martin Haugill joins us now. He's the executive director of the Institute for Health Technology Studies, one of my favorite guests we've had on a couple of different times. He knows how to cut through the crap. Hey, Martin, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, thank you. I appreciate that description.
All right, one of the things that Obama said, I'm going to ask you this. He said, listen, we're going to find a way to, he's doing these town hall meetings. He said, we're going to find a way to make this happen. We're going to find a way to pay for this. But we're going to have to put some money out in front of this, especially when it comes to technology. But in the end, it'll save us a ton of money. And the one thing he specifically pointed to was digitized records. Instead of having a paper trail all over the place when you've been to different doctors or you've moved around, you've had different doctors, whatever the circumstances are, that there would just be this digitized record that everyone would have. It would cut out a lot of the waste, a lot of the paper waste, and, of course, money waste, and it would save time. Do you think it would be easy to make that a reality?
I don't think it'd be easy to do it, or I think we would have already done it, but I do think it's a worthy goal. Not only does it save time and money and unnecessary complexity and the patient having to fill out a form five times with the same information, all of that, it will greatly, greatly help in two ways. One is it will help reduce medical errors because people will have a complete record, not a series of parts of a record. And secondly, it's going to help researchers be able to look at what's going on and what's working and what isn't working. So I think there's real value to doing it. Doing it won't be easy, though.
And obviously it's not easy with this whole health care reform. Where do you stand on this as you hear all the things that are going around? Of course, there is no definite measure yet. There's 1,000 pages and 1,000 different thoughts. There was the talk of the public option, and now they're saying co-op plus, obviously, private doctors. Can that work? Can it work with the co-op and the private doctors? Because I don't know with the public option how that would work, because I think that hurts competition, right? It would ultimately hurt doctors.
Well, there's a lot of ideas you've wrapped up in one question there, and let me take them, if I can remember, one at a time. The co-op thing, I think, actually is an interesting and innovative idea in and of itself. We've had cooperatives in other spheres of the economy for decades, I don't think they're necessarily, you know, a bad thing. And they might be a very good way for us to deliver care to the people that are currently uninsured or that are poor and can't afford good insurance. I don't think the world comes to an end if we have a public option. I'm not a huge fan of it, but the bottom line is that there seems to be a lot of pressure from President Obama. He wants this to happen. There can be a lot of political fighting over it. But we've got to remember that we have public options right now. Mm. They're called Medicare, Medicaid, the VA administration. Those are public options. And, you know, as I said, the world's not going to come to an end if we have one more. If it competes on a level playing field, and I think that's really the key to this. And if it does compete on a level playing field and the private companies compete with it, I think that makes everybody better. And I think that that's sort of the premise behind this. I mean, America is a country that delivers all of its services to people, virtually all of its services to people, in a spirit of competition. We don't have one provider of food or fast food. We don't have one provider of hotel services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have a lot of competition, and I think that's healthy.
Yeah, oh, I absolutely agree with that, too. I mean, that's capitalism, and that's competition, and that's what you get, and that's how the United States has grown, obviously, for the 233 years, so we're on the right, we're on the same page with that.
Right.
But what about technology? Because you're in that business. What ultimately is the role that technology will play in, I'm going to say this, reducing costs? We just talked about one of the things. And also helping patients get the best overall health care. Because, you know, Martin, that's what everybody's worried about.
Yeah, and I think that we should be a little concerned as health care reform unfolds and we start to see huge costs that come as a result. If that reduces the flow of innovative medical technologies, then I think we've hurt ourselves. We should embrace medical technology as part of the solution, really, not part of the problem. Your listeners, I think, need to understand that medical science and technology are making us healthier than we've ever been before. We live longer than ever before. We have fewer disabilities. We're more productive economically. Spending on healthcare, it really is a sound investment for us personally in terms of our lives and our families, as well as for the economy. And medical devices and diagnostics, the areas that we're interested in, are very, very competitive industries that continue to turn out stunning streams of innovations. That they reduce length of stay in the hospital. They cut the time spent in intensive care settings. They're moving patients to one-day stays or to doctor's offices. They're getting back to work or to their families sooner. I mean, all of this is at relatively less cost per case. But the problem is the volume of health care is rising because the population has increased to, 300 million plus, and we're more obese than we ever were, and the baby boomers are now getting into their age where they're starting to face major health issues and all these kinds of things. But, you know, thanks to medical technology, we can do so much more than we ever have been able to do before for people.
And, you know, speaking of that, then the other thing is, and this really hasn't been talked about a lot, we see the job numbers are horrible, almost 10% unemployment. But I would think the other side of this is when you talk about spending money on health care, just to be pro on this side of it, there would obviously be money that would be pumped back into the economy, right?
No question about it. I mean, the focus has been in all of this conversation about how much of our GDP is spent on health care. But people overlook how much of GDP is made possible by health care. It's a well understood and recognized fact that the healthier the society, the more productive it is. And health care has made stunning strides. Technology has contributed significantly to that. And the result is that we are more productive. We live longer than we ever have before. The average life expectancy today for a woman is 81 years. Men, I think it's a little less because we have such a heavy burden to bear. That was an attempt at humor late night.
I liked it, yes.
But the average, I think, now, what is it, 78 or 79? I've forgotten, truthful. But anyway, the point is, it's longer than it's ever been before. And all of this is the result of the advances that we've made, and they're very significant. We shouldn't lose sight of that.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny you said the thing about make the crack about Ben. My grandfather turns 93 tomorrow.
Atta boy.
Yeah, and
happy
he's in assisted living. Yeah, he's got his own apartment, everything, and
that's great. That's great. I think we're going to see more and more of that. I think that, I'm part of the baby boom generation. I think our generation and younger generations, if they can avoid obesity and all of the things that go with it, will be living well into their hundreds.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Hey, you're involved with In Health, obviously, and when I said I was talking about you coming on the show, people want to know what In Health is, and I know you're not surprised about that. What does that mean? And, of course, we're talking about the Institute for Health Technologies. Explain what you do.
Well, what we do is we try to invest funds with major universities around the country for their faculty to do studies of how the socioeconomic effects of medical technology. We don't look so much at the clinical effects because there's already lots and lots of research done on that in order to get FDA approval and so forth. Lots of clinical studies are done. But the real question is, what difference is it making? And it's an area that we think should be studied a lot more. As you may know, there's been $1.1 billion of the stimulus package that has been dedicated to comparative effectiveness research. And that's good. That's going to give good clinical data to doctors and patients to make better decisions for how the care is, or the best care for them, or the best diagnostic procedure for them. But what we are currently talking about is healthcare reform. Healthcare reform is different from clinical care. Clinical care is a part of the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. But there's all the insurance aspects that we were talking about earlier with the medical records. And the whole array of how we set up healthcare and deliver it in the country is a system. And what we don't have is much data about how all of that works. And we need to be looking much more closely at the effects of these devices and other therapies that are involved in care. You put a new hip in somebody. I don't know if your grandfather has had any artificial bits and pieces implanted or not, but many people now are mobile and keeping their legs pumping and their lungs and their hearts pumping and living many, many years longer thanks to implantable technologies. And this is really not understood how that has a social effect and an economic effect, allowing people to be with their families, allowing them possibly to work longer, maybe not requiring someone to stay home with them to look after them,
right,
allowing them to live independently. You said your grandfather was in an apartment, which is fabulous. In many cases, these advanced medical capabilities are enabling huge social and economic consequences that we need to understand better before we meddle too much with them.
Yeah, I agree. It's terrific the work that you do. Marty, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for hanging late with us on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about Sonia Sotomayor and what happened today. One hurdle down, next time.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
In 1965, this was the sound. Commission's done. One more time. One more time. One more time. Fantasy. And a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Brett Favre doesn't have a brand new bag. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Our version of sports on Sports Shorts. More and more sports is like politics, I'll tell you. In the case of Brett Favre, he decided he was going to retire for sure. He was going to stay retired. He was waffling about whether or not to play for the Minnesota Vikings. Now, sadly for the Vikings, it's pretty ill-timed because they were counting on Brett Favre, and it definitely looked like he was going to take it. He was going to come back and decided at the 11th hour not to do that. So now he stays retired, and the Vikings have some decisions to make. Who steps in as the signal caller? I mean, here's the deal. Brett Favre was furious with the Packers, right? It turned into a circus last year. He went to the Jets. In the beginning, it looked great, and then, of course, things fell off, and he was injured. So now he's decided, after 3 months of suspending everybody in midair, to call it quits. And like I said, the timing couldn't be worse for the Minnesota Vikings, because now basically he'll have to go with, I guess at this point, the coach Childress will have to go with Jackson or Sage. Rosenfels and convince them that the team still has some confidence in them. There have been a lot of sports talk shows across the country where people are talking about Michael Vick. And, hey, why don't the Vikings sign Michael Vick, even if he can't play till the sixth game in? It could be a good PR move. In fact, on ESPN, they did a little poll. Now CNN and Huffington Post and everybody else does those polls. They did a poll asking if the Vikings should pursue Michael Vick. And of the 96,000 votes, 67% said yes, 33% said no. So how about that? In the meantime, I wonder if the people in Minnesota feel like they got shafted. Since our studio is in Minneapolis, the GCN network, let's pick on, not pick on, but let's ask Matt Johnson what he thinks. Matt, what do you think? You're a football fan. You were waiting to see what was going to happen with Brett Favre. Are you disappointed?
I'm just glad it's over, and I think that's pretty much how everyone feels, although I guess until, what, Thursday, it's not technically officially over, because there's always, you know, the one day change of mind that he'll have, you know, maybe when he wakes up tomorrow morning. But I think everyone's just pretty much glad that it's over. We know what we're rolling with next year, and that's Sage or T-Jack, and hopefully one of them will be able to put it together. But I think there's a little bit of disappointment just because we were strung along for so long, and, you know, it's Hall of Fame quarterbacks going to come to the Vikings, but now not the case. So we got to roll with what we have and just, you know, eat a little crow.
Yeah, and it's not the Vikings' fault. It's Brett Favre's fault for, I think, dangling them out on that perch for 3 months, like I said, but certainly not the Vikings' fault. Of course, for the quarterbacks, that's what you have to just build them up. And it's funny how the fates and fortunes, but you know, any athlete knows that's what happens. You know, the bigger name, the bigger guy, the legend, the whatever, there's always the chance that can happen to you. So in a way, they get a reprieve, and we'll see what happens. Maybe somebody else comes out of the woodwork, but for now, that's certainly the way it's looking for Minnesota. Speaking of football, here's a story that made national news that had nothing to do with football. Remember the former Giants wide receiver Plaxico Burress? Here's another guy that I covered. He's got a weapons charge that he's facing for shooting himself, remember, in the thigh at that nightclub last year? He's going to testify before a Manhattan grand jury in the morning. And sometimes it's unusual. A lot of times they won't do that, but his attorney thought that it was important for the grand jury to hear his side of the story, because the only guy who got shot, which his attorney is saying, is Plaxico Burress, and the gun was registered in the state of Florida, which has registration agreements in 32 states. So Burress was under the impression that the same was the case in the city of New York. Remember, we talked about this, the recent gun legislation that came out where they're not going to have those reciprocal registration agreements in other states, so you can't have that concealed weapon and go into other states. And that a lot of people thought that was a big victory in one sense, but I think it was a big loss in other senses, and so did some of the people from the NRA. And here's what Burress is trying to say in his case. Hey, I had no idea that this was the case in New York City. So we'll see what happens. It's in front of the grand jury, so he's, you know, here we go. This testimony, is it going to balance out some of the comments that have been thrown out there by the Manhattan district attorney? Boy, that made big headlines when that happened. Also, a tip of the cap to someone who I thought was an incredible gentleman, unfortunately lost his life in a battle with cancer, and he was so much a big part of the Eagles' defense, especially for the last couple of years. He's done an incredible job, or did an incredible job. Jim Johnson, who, as I said, struggled with cancer in May. It was looking pretty bad. So the Eagles' assistant died at 68 years old today. 22 years he was an NFL assistant. A lot of people talked about him possibly being a head coach, and he went to, you know, coach to five NFC title games, was in one Super Bowl, and sadly he lost his battle with cancer. Something else that's being kicked around in the world of sports is something that's always talked about. Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? By the way, you're not shut out of sports shorts. If you want to weigh in on any of this, you certainly can. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. And now there's kind of another move afoot to see if Rose can't find himself, find his way, let's say, back to baseball. And I'll just give you a couple of quick insights into this. I've interviewed Pete Rose, I want to say, four times now. Once when he got out of prison for the tax evasion, doing a show on the central coast of California in a place called Santa Maria, just outside of Santa Barbara. And another time recently, the most recent was just 2 years ago, and it was at a Hall of Fame thing. And as I said, that many people pay to have him go up there and sign autographs, and there's always a push and a conversation about whether or not he should be in the Hall of Fame. Well, I was there for Nolan Ryan's induction into the Hall of Fame, and he and I, because I covered the Texas Rangers, knew each other. And one of the things that we talked about, and I'm sure other people have asked him and other Hall of Famers to weigh in on this, was Pete Rose and whether or not Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. And he said, yeah. He said to him, it was an oversight that Rose was already not in the Hall of Fame because he was an incredible baseball player. He's the all-time hits king, and he shouldn't be reinstated into baseball so that he can manage or be a coach somewhere, but he should be in the Hall of Fame if you consider what he did during his baseball years. And I thought that was a great answer because he as he said, for the gambling part and all that, then don't reinstate him into baseball. Don't give him a job in baseball, but put him in the Hall of Fame. But I don't know that, even though there's now this new push afoot to see that happen, I don't know that we'll ever see him in our lifetime in the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's a lot of people have been pushing Bud Selig to reinstate him for a while, and it hasn't happened at this point. So as somebody who is a baseball fan besides myself and works on the show, Matt, what do you think? Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame?
I think definitely. He's the all-time hits leader. And the way I heard a lot of people talking about it just recently since this has come up is that you got guys who pretty much are well-known steroid users that may or may not be getting into the Hall of Fame. I think Pete Rose, who did everything, nobody accused him of ever using steroids or anything. He did all this stuff not as a player, it was as a manager. I think you got to let him in.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the Nolan Ryan comment was the best. So he's not in the game of baseball, but he's in the Hall of Fame. He definitely didn't do the steroids. And you have all these other guys that, who knows who's in there, but all these other guys who have these incredible numbers, but are guys who did steroids, guys who were juiced. And it's like Hank Aaron finally said the other day, there should be an asterisk next to the names of the people who did that. And I agree with him, because it just doesn't match up. And in the case of Pete Rose, I think you can't take anything away from the accomplishments. The gambling part, for what it's worth, happened in a managing sense, not playing days, and it didn't affect what he was doing on the field. So I think you let him in, especially when you compare to what other people have certainly in recent times done. It would be fair, absolutely. If you're a fan of Michael Phelps, yep, Michael Phelps beaten by world record time in the 200 free. You might have seen that headline. It's hard to believe, and I said this on one of our last shows, that we're just 3 years away from, right, 3 years away from our next Olympics, the London Olympics. And, of course, everybody will be watching to see what he does there. So Phelps looked a little awkward from what I could see. He accepted this medal that apparently he wanted no part of, and then he was listening to somebody else's national anthem, and he looked a little awkward. I've read some of the accounts of it too, because what happened is a German who didn't necessarily have a big name pulled off a great upset, knocking off Phelps in the 200 meter freestyle at the World Championships and snatching the world record as well. Remember, now recently there's been this controversy over the high-tech suits, but they no longer are allowing the high-tech suits. They're going to get those out of the pool, and I guess the suits make a difference. So Michael Phelps saw the record fall. He looked a little stunned, to say the least. Coming up next, news you can abuse, this day in history and birthdays.
Hi, this is John Swenson again at Midas Resources, and let me ask just one question. What would you list as the things that the federal government does really well? The armed forces and printing bogus money doesn't count. Now take that blank page of yours and list the ways that you have to protect your assets and escape the paper markets. The only real option is precious metals. For your retirement, your kids' education, or just plain survival when the whole Obama mess comes crashing down. You are the only one you can count on for a stimulus package. And I'd like to discuss a proven strategy to create that safety net for you and your family. Please give me a call at 800-686-2237, extension 128. That's 800-686-2237, extension 128. And together we can develop a make sense program before the clock runs out. Once more, John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128. And take charge of your future, and thank you.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
It's funny, huh, man? Only thinks about the. You got a real big heart, but I'm looking at you. You got real big brains, but I'm looking at you. Girl, it ain't no pain in me looking at you.
I don't give a keep looking at my. Cause it don't mean a thing if you're looking at my.
All right, I'm going to predict already that you're going to know probably five of today's birthdays, including Patty Scalzia. You know who that is? Rock singer. Think husband, Bruce Springsteen, the E Street Band. 56 years old. That's one that I believe most of you would know. Also coming up this day in history, including back in 58, President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed the National Aeronautics and Space Act, creating NASA. And where is NASA today? We were just talking about that last week and whether you cared about astronauts and space exploration. And if you remember, Tomas called from Michigan, and he agreed with me that it was too important to slough it off no matter how much it's costing us. I mean, look, you're cutting all these other things that make sense, so then you're going to, what, slice off that don't make sense. So you're going to slice off something else that doesn't make sense, and some of what NASA's doing, I'm going to say no. News you can abuse. Let's go to New Zealand. They say don't really blame it on swine flu. A judge in New Zealand is rejecting a woman's drunk driving defense. Deborah Karen Graham said that the three glasses of wine she had were more potent because she's getting over a case of the swine flu. The explanation was less contagious than the ailment. The judge fined her and took away her license for 6 months. That is a brutal lie. Swine flu. Yeah, that's what I had. Mm-hmm. Walnut Creek, California. It's on the peninsula just outside of San Francisco. A priest got more than an earful when he was listening to confession. He also got some stolen cash. Cops in Walnut Creek say that a man went to church Sunday night to confess. He told the priest that he robbed a credit union and handed him $1,200. The priest called the police after the man left the church. Investigators don't know yet if all the stolen money was handed over to the padre or just part of it. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I robbed a credit union, and here's the money. Go in peace, my son, and say 10 Hail Marys. Milwaukee, we head to next. Jerry Lowry might need glasses to read the fine print on his criminal charges. Check this out. He's accused of stealing $45,000 worth of eyeglasses from a suburban Milwaukee store. I was asked to repeat this because this was on one of our last News You Can Abuse segments. It's unbelievable. This guy has this fetish for glasses. So he stole $45,000 worth of stuff. And he says he likes to try them on in front of mirrors, then he throws them out. So he doesn't even keep them, he throws them out. They accuse him of taking about 500 high-end pair of spectacles and stuff like Prada, etc. So now he's got a bunch of charges hanging in the balance, and that includes multiple counts of armed robbery. That's a bad, bad fetish to have, I'd have to say. This from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shutting the window on a stick-up could be a smart thing to do, right? The police in Colorado Springs report that's exactly what happened at a McDonald's drive-thru. They say two men ordered a drink early yesterday morning. They drove up to the window to pick up their order. The two men walked up to the window, pulled out a gun, demanded cash. When the McDonald's worker simply closed the window, that's what the worker did. All the men left. Police say they're not sure if the men in the car were part of the robbery attempt, but they're looking for the suspects. How much money would you really get from a McDonald's by walking up and sticking the gun out there? I'm not too sure about that one, especially depending on the time of day. I don't know. Maybe enough people go through there. Colorado Springs is a pretty big area. It's not too far from Denver. Let's head out to this day in history. If you're counting, there are 155 days left in the year. In 1588, the English attacked the Spanish Armada in the Battle of Gravelines, resulting in an English victory, if you're a fan of history. In 1890, the artist Vincent van Gogh, 37, died of a self-inflicted gun wound in France. Obviously a tormented man. Remember the whole thing of cutting off his ear? In 1914, transcontinental telephone service started with the first test phone conversation between New York and San Francisco. That had to be pretty exciting. I wonder what they said. 1948, Britain's King George VI opened the Olympic Games in London. King George VI, that doesn't make any... Oh, yeah, King George VI, that makes sense. And London, of course, now in 3 years will be the site of the next Olympics. We just mentioned that with the whole hubbub over Michael Phelps and the idea of those suits. And they're going to be banned in a year, the high-tech suits that make these swimmers apparently fly through the air. In 1967, an accidental rocket launch aboard the supercarrier, the USS Forrestal in the Gulf of Tonkin, resulted in fire and explosions. It killed, actually, sadly, 134 servicemen on board. In 1975, President Gerald R. Ford became the first U.S. president to visit the site of the Nazi concentration camp Auschwitz in Poland, as he was paying tribute to the victims. In 1981, Britain's Prince Charles married Lady Diana Spencer at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. The couple, of course, divorced in 1996. A couple years later, Princess Di sadly was killed in an auto accident. 10 years ago, a day trader upset over stock losses opened fire in two Atlanta brokerage offices, killed 9 people, wounded 13 others before shooting himself to death. Mark Barton killed his wife and 2 kids as well. Governor of California at the time, Gray Davis, abandoned the state's effort to preserve Proposition 187. It was a voter-approved ban on schooling and other public benefits for illegal immigrants. Very, very controversial. 5 years ago, Senator John Kerry accepted the Democratic presidential nomination at the party's convention in Boston with a military salute and a declaration, "I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty." Time flies when you talk about just a year ago. I was talking about on this show Alaska's Senator Ted Stevens, who was indicted on 7 felony counts of concealing more than $250,000 in house renovations and also gifts from a powerful oil contractor. A jury, by the way, later found the longtime Republican lawmaker guilty of lying on financial disclosure forms. But then a judge dumped the case, saying prosecutors withheld evidence. So we got lucky in that one. I also was talking about this on a Fox Sports show I was doing. Disgraced ex-NBA official Tim Donahue admitted that he brought some serious shame on his profession as a federal judge sentenced him to 15 months behind bars for a gambling scandal. Trying to fix some of those games. Meanwhile, Army scientist Bruce Ivins was named as a top suspect in anthrax mailing attacks in 2001. He died at a hospital in Frederick, Maryland after deliberately overdosing on Tylenol. Let's head to birthdays, shall we?
Any birthday singers? Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
All right, I know you're going to know this name. Former Senator Elizabeth Dole turns 73. Also celebrating a birthday, Marilyn Tucker Quayle. That is, of course, the wife of the former VP Dan Quayle, turned 60 years old. Actor Mike Starr is 59. Documentary maker, you're going to know him, Ken Burns, 56. If you're a fan of reality TV and you watch Project Runway, the style guru Tim Gunn is 56 years old. Actress Alexandra Paul is 46 years old. Country singer Martina McBride, she's a pretty big name in the business, is 43 years old. Actor Will Wheaton is 37. From Boys to Men, Wayne Morris is 37. Also country crooner and songwriter James Otto is 36. Here's an actor who's kind of a B-lister, but he's been in a ton of films. Actor Stephen Dorff is 36 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, actress Rachel Miner is 29 years old, while actress Allison Mack is 27 years old. Happy birthday to all of them. If you're a fan of Rush, I am. Rock musician Geddy Lee, 56 years old. I'm going to leave you with this thought. An idea is not responsible for the people who believe it.
Computer, execute complete shutdown of the holodeck.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
I'm gonna do what?
Power down and disengage.
Time to go home now.
Going home, dude.
I'll be back.
It's been fun working with you.
I quit.
7 years of college down the drain.
Game over, man.
But now for something completely different.